Okay, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tavshin Samach Tes, and Parshas Vayikra. This year is dedicated to the Aliyah of the Neshama of Devorah Bas Moshe. We have a few themes today, all of them tying into the joint theme of Karbanos, which we call the Avoda, the sacrificial service in the Beis HaMikdash, and the centerpiece of the Pesach Seder, which we'll see, of course, is the matzah and the changing nature of the matzah. Now, we have three particular themes. We're going to look at the word Vayikra and compare it to the word Vayikar, with and without the Aleph and the little Aleph. We're going to look at the word Adam and Mikem in the second Pasuk. And we're going to spend some time looking at the word in Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is Tzafona. V'shachat oso al yerech ha-mizbeach Tzafona lefnei Hashem, that the Korban Ola is sacrificed on the northern side. Tzafona, the northern side of the Mizbeach. Now, we're going to talk about that and the importance of that. In addition, we will spend a little time explaining the bracha that that we say in every Shmona Esrei on the Shalosh Regalim, Ata Bechartanu. And this is the bracha, Ata Bechartanu, that we delineate which particular yantiv it is that we're speaking about. And this is the bracha that ends with, it's a very long bracha, it ends with what we spoke about last week, Mekadesh HaShabbos, if it's Shabbos for Yisrael, V'Hazmanim. Now we're going to focus on the beginning of the bracha, Ata Bechartanu. Okay? This is the one additional bracha in the Shmona Esrei of the Yom Tovim. You know that the Yantav Shmona Esrei has seven brachas, three, and one in the middle called Kedushas Hayom, and so we'll spend a little time on that. Now, the way we're going to start is we're going to start with Pasuk Yud Aleph. We will get back to Pasukim Aleph and Beis, but we're going to start with the idea that the Korban Ola is slaughtered, as you see in the Pasuk, at the northern side of the altar, Lifnei Hashem. There's something about the Tzafon that in and of itself is Lifnei Hashem, is before God. Now, the word Tzafon is obviously a very important word. The Korban Ola is given every single day. Twice a day, it's also called the Korban Tamid. And it's on behalf of the whole congregation, as we know. Now, Pesach, the word Tzafon, also figures pretty greatly. And that is that there's a part of our Seder called Tzafun. Now, that's what we're going to start talking about. Tzafun. What is Tzafun? Tzafun is when we... Well, Tzafun means hidden. So what do we do at Tzafun? We take out the afikomen, which is hidden, and we eat it. And then do we eat anything else after the afikomen? Okay. That's what we told the Chacham way back in the beginning of the Haggadah. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen. You don't have any dessert after the Korban Pesach. So really what's happening is that afikomen, that matzah, is really in place of the Korban Pesach. And after they ate the Korban Pesach, they ate nothing afterwards. Now we eat the matzah, and we eat nothing afterwards. Okay? We always think about the Zeroa as a reminder of the Korban Pesach, which it is. But the Afikomen, the matzah we eat at Chatzos, is also in place of the Korban Pesach. The question is, how did the Korban Pesach become the matzah? And this is a strange nature in general to the matzah. The matzah is an enigma in a way. We start out this Seder and we do a couple of things with the matzah. First, we lift it up and we say, Ha lachma anya, this is the bread of our affliction, of our poverty. Right? We also break the matzah, right before that. We break the matzah. And we take the smaller piece of the matzah and we put it into the Seder plate. And we take the larger part of the matzah and we hide it. Now, there's an ancient minhag. An ancient minhag. I mean, this is part of the Seder. It's ancient. For the Baal HaSeder, the person who's leading the Seder, to take the bigger piece of the matzah and hide it. The kids stealing it and giving it back for a present, that's some American yuckle thing that they invented, you know, recently. But the hiding of the afikomen, okay, that's ancient. That's very important. The word tafun means to hide. And in order to understand the hiding, we have to realize that what's happening from the beginning of the Seder to the end of the Seder is a Seder. There's an order. There's an order to this whole progression. There's a thinking behind it. And the order of the Seder really is the order of our thoughts, how Jews think, in what, how we order our thoughts. It's the order of Jewish history, and it's the order of every person's development in their life. There is, the Seder is a Seder. Now, interesting, the Siddur sounds like the Seder, right? Well, there were no more Karbanos, so they instituted the Siddur, the order of davening. There was no more Pesach festival at the Beis HaMikdash with a Karban. So in place, in the beginning of the post-Chorban era, in the year 200 approximately, we think the Baal HaGadah is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that's the evidence points in that direction. So around 200, they put together a Seder in to take the place of the Pesach service. So our real question is, what is the order? And that helps us understand the transformation that takes place in the matzah, because we start out with the little piece and the big piece. The little piece goes in the Seder plate. The big piece gets hidden for the future and is brought out later. But something happens when we bring out the matzah later. All of a sudden, the matzah that we started the Seder with, which was Lechem Oni, and the bread of our affliction, and the fact that we were slaves, and we had no time for the bread to rise, and our lives were meager, like this meager bread that's just flour and water, and has really no other taste to it, and has no other ingredients to it. This meager bread, this bread of poverty, this bread of limitation, of Meitzar, this very constrained, you might say, type of food. There's nothing exciting about it. All of a sudden, at the end of the Seder, at Chatzos, at this magical time called Chatzos, which doesn't really exist, as we'll speak about, that bread becomes something totally different. All of a sudden, it's the Karban Pesach. All of a sudden, it's Lechem Cheirus. It's the bread of our freedom. And the taste of this bread is so sweet that you don't have dessert afterwards. The taste of this afikomen, of this matzah, is the last taste that lingers in our mouth, and that's all we want to taste. The sweetest taste of all is the taste of the Cheirus, of the Pesach that represented that, that Hashem passed over, that we're free, and we are free to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then what happens is, the matzah from the beginning of the meal, and the matzah from the end of the meal, the two halves which we still have, are in a sense replaced back together, and there's a hole that is created. And that hole was the original hole before the breaking of the two pieces. My grandfather always explained to us, Rav Schwab, that the concept of the tzafun is this, and he heard it from his father. I'm sure heard it from his father. That the Lechem Oni, as you can imagine, as you can visualize, that's our portion in this world. That's our condition. That's the process. We spoke about Hazmana, Zman, and Moed, the process and the destination last week. This is a continuation and a development of this idea. The smaller piece that we have on our table, that represents the process, what we go through, our journey, our lot here. It's smaller. It's only half of the big picture. It's meager. Perhaps sometimes even tasteless. Notice that this matzah that we eat before Chatzos has to be eaten with maror, bitter herbs. But there's an ancient tradition that the maror that you eat is romaine lettuce, not the actual horseradish, which some people do eat. My grandfather always told us that the reason we eat romaine lettuce is not that it's bitter. It's tasteless. It's tasteless. We spoke about the idea that the zman, the process, doesn't have the taste of the goal. The eitz is not a pri. Remember this from last week? It should have been in the ideal state of affairs. The eitz is a pri. The eitz is a fruit. It has the taste of its final product, which is the fruit, and the fruit is a fruit. In the process, you feel the destination. You feel the goal. But that is not how Hashem set up the world. He made a tree that bears a fruit. And the process leading to the fruit can sometimes be as tasteless as bark and as difficult to swallow. And yet our job, as we spoke about, is lahazmin, to prepare and to invest the process with meaning, to designate it, to make it purposeful every step along the way, that it should have a bit of the taste of the end of the fruit. So the matzah is part of the zman, is part of the hazmana, is part of the designation of this state that we're in now, which we eat with maror, which could be tasteless completely. Romaine lettuce. Not necessarily bitter. Just without a sense of the destination, of the goal, of what it will become. That matzah is our situation here. But at Chatzos, all of a sudden, that matzah, we get to see it in a whole different light. It becomes the bread of Cheras. It becomes the Tzafon, the hidden other side. Now, what is Tzafon? Our schar in the next world is Tzafon. The reward, the taste of the fruit. The destination, that's what's tzafun from us, that's what's hidden. Our schar is the bigger portion. And when the bigger portion and the smaller portion are united once again, you see it's a shlemus, it's a whole. By the way, it doesn't have to be round. In my family, my grandfather was very machmir to only use machine matzahs in the Seder plate, not to use hand matzahs, because he felt that they were more carefully monitored. There's no human error involved. So in any case, either way, it's a whole. The two halves become a whole. And the larger part, the schar, what is tzafun, what is hidden, is then seen to be an extension of. It changes nature completely. That process becomes the destination, becomes the fruit at the end. The zman becomes the moed. Now, this happens at Chatzos. What is Chatzos? We've spoken about this before, so just for a second. Chatzos is midnight. There's a whole bunch of talk about it. Bechatzos, kechatzos. Remember when Hashem said to Moshe, bechatzos, and he said kechatzos. And why did he change it? Because they're not going to be able to really identify this. The second of chatzos, they're going to say it happened before, it happened after. What is that all about? So we spoke about the idea a long time ago that let's say a night has 12 hours for argument's sake. So 6 to 12 is the first half of the night, and 12 to 6 is the second half of the night. So, when is Chatzos? So, if you say it's the second of 12, there's only one problem with that, and that second, as you know, can be divided into two halves, the first half and the second half. Actually, that second could be divided infinitely, could be divided into 100 million parts, and half of those 100 million are on one side, and half of those 100 million are on the other side. It's like my 10 fingers. There's no middle. There's no middle in an even number. There's 5 and 5. There is nothing in the middle. The idea of Chatzos is the idea that permeates Pesach also, that it is lemala min hazman. We're talking about zman. It is not contained in zman. It is not measured in zman. In other words, the moment of the Gilui Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that took place, that changed our status, that was our pidyon, that was that where we make the bracha at the end of the Haggadah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, pidyon nafshenu, there was a pidyon, al goaleinu, there was a goel, we were redeemed, and there was a pidyon, our status changed. That took place with the Gilui Shechina, where we became B'nai B'chori Yisrael to everybody's eyes, at a point that is not contained or measurable by time. It's called Lamala Min Hazman. It's above time. In other words, no more Hazmana, we are at a whole new place, a destination. The Moed, where we have arrived. We are not anymore in this process, which is part and parcel of time, which our Kadosh Baruch Hu created time. With the word Bereshis, we started the concept of a sequence, of a past, present, future kind of orientation of our minds. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't live in time, and all things that are real are above time and above space, and not material. So we've exited time, and we are now in a place where time, we are not subject to time at all. That's why the Jewish people are, we see ourselves as if we came out of Mitzrayim, we are not subject to age and infirmity, we are eternal. Time will not be able to destroy us, to wear us down, to age us to a point that we can't function anymore. Time passes on and we stand outside of time. Time is like a river rushing and we are extracted from the river and put on the side. It continues, but we are not subject to it. And that's where Mark Twain said it in his article. They display none of the infirmities of age. They're youthful and they're constantly rejuvenating themselves and finding their strength over again and beginning again. They're eternal. So here, all of, up until Chatzos, it's all Zman. Everything is Zman. In fact, the matzahs, you have to have them within 18 minutes, or they're pasul, they're chametz. Zman is everything, the process. So we take the smaller piece, that's our situation, that's our matzav, subject to Zman, we invest the Zman with sanctity, we designate the Zman as purposeful and meaningful. It might be tasteless, we might eat it with romaine lettuce, and we might not feel the taste of the pri, but then at Chatzos, there's no more Zman. There's no more Hazmana. We've crossed over. And now we're in a place where we are free. We see what our process turned into, and that's the sweetest taste of all. No dessert afterwards. The sweetest taste of all in the end is the taste that we have to carry with us when we go back into Zman. That when the process is tasteless, what we remember is the taste of Yafikoman, that the sweetest taste of all is simply the taste of the privilege of having the mitzvahs. Having the mitzvahs to guide us through the process. That's the sweetest taste of all. That's the anchor. That's what gives us security when nothing makes sense and we don't even know why they make sense, or what's going on around us makes sense, or what's going on in the world, how that makes sense. But the sweetest taste of all is that the process will lead to an end. And that's the taste we bring back into the process. That's all the tzafon. Now, the next step is that, in addition to that, when a person is in the state of the smaller piece of the matzah, in this time that we're in now, and things are tasteless, or we don't see, that we don't taste the fruit day to day, okay? So what's the most important thing for a human being to have in themselves is a desire to invest the moment with meaning. A desire to find meaning and have it create the energy for the person. Now, in order to do that, a person has to search deep inside themselves, and they have to find their basic intrinsic yearning to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give the process meaning. Sometimes that itself is a step. That itself is an achievement, to want to give the whole process meaning. To have every moment mean something, and every moment to be dedicated to something higher, not just live for the moment and be distracted by the entertainment or the job, the obligation or the pressure of the moment, but to stop for a second and invest it with meaning. It takes thinking. And when you start investing things with meaning, all of a sudden things become more important, and challenges become greater, and decisions become more important, and not doing things become more important, and pushing yourself to do things become more important, and actually you bring a whole load on your life that you didn't have before. Rav Soloveitchik once said that, don't imagine that if a person, let's say, becomes a Baal Tshuva, decides to keep Torah mitzvahs, that now they've arrived. They plunk themselves on top of the right mount, on top of the mountain, and here they are, they're going to be Shomer Torah mitzvahs. It says, choosing to be an Eved Hashem is not finding yourself at the top of the mountain. It's finding yourself at the bottom of the correct mountain. So that at least when you're climbing, you're getting somewhere. At least when you're putting in effort, it's worth something. But you have to want to make the climb. This is the question, the problem. You have to want to make the climb. Sometimes that alone is hard. So yet at the same time, in everybody's deepest recesses of their soul is a desire to make the climb. And if a person doesn't express it, it comes out in all kinds of dysfunctional ways and ultimately is self-destructive. There is a desire deeply hidden to make the climb. Now that desire, Rav Hirsch says, Rav Gedalia Shor brings this down there, Rav Hirsch says that that's what this pasuk means. And I think it's from Tehillim, but he doesn't quote the actual perek here. He says, "Belibi tzafanti imrasecha." In my heart, I have hidden your words. Your words are already hidden in my heart. Believe kuf yutes. Believe tzafanti imrasecha. In my heart, I have your words hidden. Laman lo echtalach, so that I shouldn't ultimately sin against you. Tzafon, hidden inside a person's deepest recesses of their heart, is the will of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Laman lo echtalach, or lach. Which one is it? Chani. Laman lo echtalach, or lacha. Lach, okay. Now, here's the thing. Remember what we spoke about Amira and Dibor? Very important, because Amira, we said, is that the will of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, can be known, but it's not demanding, you know, it's not a demanding tzivoy, it's not some type of imperative commanding the person to respond, to act. The Amira of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we said, is Lashon Raka, it's soft, which means it's out there, it can be known, it can be connected with, but a Kaddish Baruch Hu is leaving it in our hands. We spoke about the fact that it was Amira for 26 Doros until the Makos, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then it transferred into Dibor, demand. And up to those 26 generations, it was kind of like a bit of a free-for-all. If a person wanted to hear the words of Hashem and follow that derech, it was welcome to and appreciated. But Hashem didn't come down into the world and make a big revelation and gather everyone around and give a mitzvah. He did destroy the world when things got out of hand, ben adam lechaveiro. But in terms of ben adam lemakom, he waited. Right? We spoke about the idea that the Hodul Hashem Kitov 26 times represents the 26 generations of what Rav Huttner calls Chesed Vitor. Hashem gave Chesed with that, like a Vatran. This is all in another shir you can find online on the Dayenu shir, which we're not going to go into. In any case, the Dibor is already the Aseres HaDibros. Demands, requirements, sanctions, reward and punishment, bracha and klala, Dibor. When we speak about the idea, Belibi Tzafanti Imrasecha, in my heart I have hidden your words, the Amira is the fact that every person can hear, if they want to, the calling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them to rise to action, even in things that are not particularly demanded of them, let alone things that are demanded. Nobody demands a person to dedicate themselves to helping the homeless or the poor or the sick. This is a calling that a person feels or hears from within themselves. The greatness of Avram, let me remind you, Moshe Shapiro says, Vayomer Hashem al Avram lech lecha. Hashem said lech lecha, which means to say, there was a calling in the world, somebody go and bring humanity back to their senses, teach them who they are and why they're here, somebody do my work for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always waits for us, that's the pattern. Somebody go out there, I'm waiting for somebody to be korei b'shem Hashem, but Hashem never designated anybody, that's Amira. Avram found it inside himself and he rose up to this calling. And that's why the pasuk says, Vayelech Avraham, kasher diber elav Hashem. But it never says Vayedaber Hashem. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha, Vayelech Avram, kasher diber elav Hashem. He heard that general calling, that ratzon, as an imperative upon him personally to act. He found it in himself. So here Rav Hirsch says, in the heart of every person is hidden the Amira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the calling to go further, to find one's particular tafkid, to give whatever they could give. And a person has to hear it and push themselves along that, but that's tough when it's hidden inside a person, deeply hidden, and it has to be brought to the surface. What else is deeply hidden in a person is their deep-seated desire not to follow the calling. Not to follow their own agendas, and sometimes even when a person is very righteous, and a person is very dedicated to the right thing, deep hidden, safun, hidden in the person, is a desire to pursue their own agendas. And they don't even realize that's the reason why they make certain choices. And they think that it's all l'shem shamayim, and it's all clean and kadosh and tahor, but it's not. It's very self-serving, and it's very, very, connected to the person's own subjective truth. We spoke about that. The hardest, the last of the gates of Tumah, the 50th gate of Tumah, was only broken. They only exited Mitzrayim, remember, from the 50th gate when Hashem said which word? Okay, good. I could give the whole shiur next year again. Anochi, remember that? The Anochi Hashem Elokecha was the only thing that was strong enough to break the Ani, the I, my agendas. We talked about the idea also from Rav Gedalia Shur that there, the Gemara brings down that there are 50 times it talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Torah. There are 50 levels to the Geula, like the days from Pesach to Shavuos. And every they were extracted step by step from each category of Tumah, from each prison. And the hardest prison of all to crack was the Ani, the I, which separates a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only that was only broken with Anochi, that overwhelmed the Anochi of each person. So too here, hidden in every person is that sense of self again, that Safon. So here is what happens. When we bring a Karban Ola, Karban Ola goes right back in our mind to who? To Yitzchak. That was the first Ola that was meant to be sacrificed. Yitzchak was meant to demonstrate through a sacrifice total bitul, total self-negation, no Ani anymore. What is hidden, deeply hidden, tzafun, the I, which is in the deepest recesses of a person's heart and in their psyche. It makes them an individual, and it's something we don't want to let go of. It's very hard to let go of because it makes us who we are, which is critical. It's our kavod. And the nefesh, the neshama, right, is called kavod ura kavodi. That's our sense of self, our individuality, our oneness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique and made each person unique. And so to sacrifice in a certain way ourselves and submit completely, that's the most difficult thing of all. That is represented by the Ola. Where is the Ola slaughtered? On the Tzafon. On the northern side. Tzafon, the hidden side. The side that represents what is hidden. What is hidden, a lot of things are hidden. What's hidden is our deep desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as expressed through Yitzchak and Avram and the Akedah. What is hidden is our desire not to be, and when they come in conflict, that's called an Avera, and you bring a Korban Chatos, which is also slaughtered on the north side, by the way, for two reasons. A, no one should know if it's an Ola or a Chatos, so a person shouldn't be embarrassed, that's a sin offering. And also, because of this reason, it's brought on the northern side. And it's only brought for a shogig, by the way, for an accidental sin. It's never brought for a mezid. But that when these two hidden agendas come into conflict, that leads to a sin. And it's slaughtered on the northern side, on the tzafon. And that brings us to realize, now we go back to the matzah, that, and we go to the bracha in the Shmona Esrei, and we go to the bracha in the Shmona Esrei. There is so much that is tzafun. Tzafun is, as we just said, our most earnest, most inner desire to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It drives a person. It's the person's search for meaning, as we've spoken about. What's also hidden is a person's ani, the self. What's also hidden is the future, the tzafun, the schar, the fruit, the taste of the sweet taste of the fruit. As we go through the process. And what's most hidden of all is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to give us schar, to be meitiv. And the reason why it's hidden is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just give us schar automatically, which is closeness, which is what we call hiskarvas, karov, which comes from the word karban, relates to that. Hashem expects us to initiate it, and then will draw us close. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives so much power into our hands that we hold the reins for Hashem to give us the schar, the tzafon, what is hidden in the end. We hold the reins. Remember we mentioned often schar mitzvah, the Beis HaLevi? Yes. To give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the opportunity to give us the schar, the tzafon. That's a mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for us to find Him. It's hidden. He waits for people to initiate. And then when people reach out, even a little bit, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reward us with the closeness and the understanding and the sweet taste of the destination of the fruit. That's also tzafon. But that's tzafon in a sense in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's secret places, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us, doesn't want the process to be so long and laborious. And here's how we now read the bracha. We say, Ata bechartanu mikol ha'amim. You chose us from all the nations. Ahavta osanu. You loved us. Viratzisa banu. And you desired us. You had ratzon. Viromamtanu mikol halashonos. And you elevated us from all the other languages or ways of speaking. Vikidashtanu b'mitzvasecha. And you sanctified us with your mitzvos. Vikeravtanu malkeinu lavodasecha, and you brought us close to your avoda, that's the karbanos. Vishimcha hagadol vehakadosh oleinu karasa, and your name that was so great and holy, you called upon us. Now, when was ata bechartanu mikol ha'amim? When did that happen? You chose us from the other nations. That was Pesach, b'ni b'chori Yisrael. But think about Ata Bechartanu. You chose us from the other nations. Okay, exactly who were the other choices? Kind of slim pickings, as it was then, as it is today. Who? The Iranians? The Venezuelans? Africa? Sudan? Who exactly? China? I mean, obviously, Klal Yisrael was greater than the nations, but saying you chose us from the other nations is not the height of A, compliment, or B, an eternal bond. It means we were better than the rest. But that was the first stage. That was Pesach. Ahavto, son of you loved us. Now that is the chuppah. That's marriage. That's clearly Shavuos. Right? You loved us. But the problem with Shavuos and the problem with Ahava is Ahava shetluya b'davar, love that is dependent on something, which is all love in the world. Is always dependent on something. Now, you saw that it was dependent on something, because as soon as they made an egel, what did Hashem say? That's it, out, done, I'm starting a new nation with Moshe Rabbeinu. It was totally dependent. Dependent on obedience, it was dependent on keeping the bris, it was dependent on loyalty. Without all of that, it was over. So, Ava Shetaluyu B'davar is a higher madriga. There's a love. It's not just you're better than everyone else, but you in particular I love. But it's not either eternal or lasting. Ratzisa banu is the next madriga. That's sukkis. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises with, in a state of sin, he'll let us do tshuva. That's why sukkis is right after Yom Kippur, the famous gra. It's not stam, the ananei hakavod. It's the ananei hakavod that returned because of the tshuva of Yom Kippur. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will dwell with you in your state of impurity, with your mistakes, with your shortcomings. I'll let you do tshuva. I'll let you go, you know, stray. I'll bring you back. I'll always remain with you, because ratzon means I have a basic ratzon. I have a desire for you. And it's not because I need you, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael are so completely wrapped up together that there can't be a separation anymore. And we've spoken about this too, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's destiny is wrapped up with our destiny. As long as we're in Golus and there's no Giloy Shechina, so Hashem's name is not known. He's linked himself to us for better or for worse. I will go down with you, remember? And I will go up with you, which means I will not go up until you go up. I'm dependent on Klal Yisrael to bring the awareness, the Shechina, the recognition of Hashem to this world. The only vehicle is Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a ratzon, is bound with us. It's inseparable, it's unbreakable, it's eternal. That's the highest madriga. But we take it further. Ata bechartanu, what safer is that? Ata bechartanu, you chose us from everyone else. That's clearly Bereishis. We're weeding out Yishmaelim, Esav, Lot, all the potentials that had connection to Avraham, and the Yitzchak, they're weeded out. That's Bereishis. Ahavta son, you loved us. That's certainly Shemos, the Geula, Kabbalah Satorah, the Mishkan, the Shechina dwelling among us. That's Shemos. Ratzisa banu, you desired us, that's going to be Vayikra. A oneness, a union. And how do we know this? Because Varomam tanu mikol halashonos. You elevated us from all the nations, that's Bereishis. That's Pesach also. That is Romam Tanu, you elevated us, you distinguish us from the various languages, the various ways of speaking. In other words, the various things that people spoke about, the agendas, the philosophies, you separated us. That's Bereishis. Kidashtanu b'mitzvosecha, but you made us kadosh with your mitzvos, that's Shemos. That's also, it's Shemos, that's all the mitzvos, that's Shavuos, that's Kabbalah Satorah. V'keravtanu malkeinu l'avodosecha, you brought us close to do your avoda, the sacrificial service, that's Vayikra. No question about it. That's not, now we're in Sefer Vayikra, that represents the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be one, to be completely bound up with. Now when we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, that's a historical fact. From everybody else, because we have a whole different way of speaking, we speak about different things. Pesach is Pesach. The mouth speaks about it. We have a whole different story to tell. A whole different philosophy. We understand that. We accept our calling. Next, Hashem gave us mitzvahs. We accept the mitzvahs. We accept the mitzvahs. They're binding upon us. We appreciate the mitzvahs. Next step in a human being and in our national life, we are called to his avoda. Now, the avoda we're speaking about is the karbon. In those days, an animal, but it doesn't change philosophically. The negation of self to the calling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To find within oneself, whether they have the strength yet or not, the desire to climb the mountain that's in front of them. And it's beyond the mitzvahs. We're talking about investing the mitzvahs with meaning. Putting my own personality into the mitzvahs. Giving it, making my contribution unique. That's the karbon, which comes from the word karov. To bring myself close in my way. And what happens next, by the way? The next Sefer is called Sefer HaPekidim. That's Bamidbar. Sefer HaPekidim is Tafkid, each person's Tafkid. And in the end is Devarim, Ela HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe, each person has, leaves a lasting legacy of their words, their contribution, what they have to offer to the world. And now we go back to the first psukim, Moshe. Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. So the Baal HaTorim brings down.
What was Bamidbar
is Sefer HaPekidim. Tafkid. Each person is called. They're counted again and again and designated, each one separately. And then Ela HaDvarim. Then finally, so it goes like this. We're chosen as a nation. We accept that. We're given mitzvahs. We accept that. Now comes the harder part. Finding the calling in oneself to negate oneself, to put themselves at the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to allow Hashem in the end to give to them all the closeness that He wants to give. To find and to be elevated to a person's tafkid, and if a person can achieve all that, then they leave a individualized, lasting legacy of their own words, their own Mesorah, what they've done, Ela HaDvar Masher Diber Moshe. Now let's go back to Moshe. Here's the Vayikra. This is where Moshe is called upon now to bring us all the halachas of karban, of karbanas, of self-negation, of closeness. Now listen to what happens. Vayikra, there's a little aleph. So the Baal HaTorim brings down, Moshe didn't want to write the word Vayikra because it was too much. It implied too much. Vayikra is a sign, as Rashi says, of great love and closeness. Vayikra, calling, a calling. We're bound together. He wants the Bnei Yisrael to bring karbanos, to make themselves close, to show their devotion, their self-negation, as Yitzchak would have actually expressed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to come close so He can give us what He wants to give us, the tzafon, everything hidden. He wants us to feel the taste in the process. He wants us to be close. And the work comes from us. And he calls Moshe. Moshe is the greatest, you know, the closest ever. The one who will bring this connection about. But in the word Vayikra is Lashon Chiba. There's so much love in that word. And Moshe didn't want to write the word Vayikra. He preferred to write the word Vayikar, like it says about Bilam. And it happened that Hashem spoke to him. Like you pass him on the street and you just kind of, by accident, bump into them. That's unconscious, and there's no connection between the two people. Versus passing someone on the street and giving them a hug, that's a connection. that implies something, you know, an intensity of a of an emotion, emotional connection. Moshe wanted to say, Vayikar. It just happened that Hashem spoke to me. He was overcome. He was felt humbled by the implications of the word Vayikra, the calling he has been asked to rise up to, and Hashem's desire that he fulfill it, and the closeness of Hashem to Moshe was too much for him. Why was it too much for him? Because he didn't feel he was ra'oi. He didn't feel he was ra'oi. He thought he was like Bilam, Rashi says, just by the Goyim. And he always compare Moshe and Bilam and says there was no Navi by the Goyim like Bilam, no Navi by the Jews like Moshe. But, you know, Bilam and Moshe, we don't want to put them in the same sentence. What is the similarity between them? So Moshe felt just like Bilam wasn't ra'oi for his nevuah, but he got it on account of Klal Yisrael. I'm not ra'oi for the levels of nevuah I'm receiving, but I'm only getting it on account of Klal Yisrael. So he didn't want to write it. Now, was he right or wrong? He was absolutely right. He was not ra'oi for the amount of nevuah that he got. He got nevuah that was way beyond his hazmana, his preparation. Way beyond who he was as a human being. He was showered with so much closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elevated to such a level that he knew was way beyond anything he could have prepared for or made himself a kli for. It was a gift of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that he could be a conduit to Klal Yisrael. And he was overwhelmed by the fact that this was all coming to him and he was being brought so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wasn't ready for it. And it was MS. He wasn't just being foolishly or fake, you know, this was like a show of humility. This was MS Lamito. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him so much more than he was ready for, or that he was ready for, so much more than he himself could have received as in proportion to who he was. But it was because there was a great job in store for him, and his job was to meet the challenge, to rise up to it, and be the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be. So here it says by the Karbanos, Adam ki yakriv mikem, Pasuk Beis, if a person brings a karban, he brings it from his own. And Rashi says they're just like Adam, couldn't be accused of taking anything from Geneva or Gezel because everything was his. So too, when a person brings a carbon, it can't be from Geneva. Well, like obviously. I mean, you're going to bring a carbon from Geneva? I mean, you got to be pretty bad for that. But there's something deeper here. The Geneva that Moshe didn't want to be guilty of is Geneva Das. That's also a form of Gezel. That people should think that he's on the Madrega, that he's Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. It's Geneva Das. And when a person sacrifices themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or does acts that look like they're so sacrificing themselves or, you know, so negating themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's always a danger of Geneva Das. There's the person really on the Madrega of what it looks like. When a person's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it really representing the true, what is truly tzafon and hidden in the person? Or is it just on the outside? So we're told here that when a person sacrifices themselves and rises up to their tafkid, there's an element here of emes that Moshe is representing to us. Now notice something unbelievable. Moshe, not only is Moshe not called Moshe Goalenu, Moshe Moshienu, Moshe Mishichenu, Moshe Malkenu, though he played all of those roles. And in the Haggadah, he's not even mentioned at all. And you know what? When we read the Haggadah, we sometimes feel slighted. Like on behalf of Moshe, we feel there's a slight to Moshe Rabbeinu. None of that is mentioned. The only thing we know Moshe for in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Rav Yosef Soloveitchik says, Moshe Rabbeinu. Because in the end, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him let Moshe be part of the process of the Geula by doing the Makos and speaking to Paro and all of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought Moshe to him and had made a partnership with Moshe. And Moshe was like a shaliach. We've also spoken about this in the past. A shaliach tzibur, where Hashem is like the tzibur and Moshe is the shaliach. You know, the shaliach tzibur stands in the middle of the tzibur, not in front. He's not doing a job for them. He's just speaking on their behalf. He's part of them. Somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Moshe And Moshe spoke on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem was the Tzibur, and Moshe was the Shaliach Tzibur, not doing anything on his own, just representing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in all those things, really, Hashem acted, but with Moshe as his mouthpiece. The Shekhinah spoke from the Mitoch Gerono Shel Moshe. Moshe was Hashem's mouthpiece, but in the end, it was all Hashem's Geula. And that's what we say on Pesach. Lo Yidei Malach, Lo Yidei Sar. But what is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's? What is Moshe's? Moshe's is Eila HaDvar Mesher Diber Moshe. Moshe is the Torah he taught us. Toras Moshe, Zichru Toras Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu let the whole Torah be called on Moshe's name. It's not Toras Moshe. Moshe didn't write it. The whole Torah is called on Moshe's name because in the end, what the person contributes, as we said, the five Sfarim, when the person rises up to their calling and sees the mountain that they have to climb like Moshe certainly did and realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a ratzon that that person should climb the mountain and be a partner and express the will of Hashem in this world, whether they feel they're up to it or not, because tzafun hidden is the desire and the ability, and tzafun is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's siyata d'shmaya and chizuk and strength. And in the end, schar, that's all tzafun. So when a person rises up, then what their legacy is, the Torah that becomes theirs, and it's given, and it's their name, it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah anymore. It's their Torah that they created, that they contributed, that they expressed, and Hashem, it's their possession, Hashem lets it be called on their name. In the end, the highest madrega of all is Eila Hadvarim, Asher Diber, Moshe or any particular person. In the end, the highest madrega of all is the knowledge that, as the bracha ends here, v'shimcha hagadol v'hakadosh aleinu karasa, that your name is called on us. That your name is actually called on us. We bear, so to speak, the last name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That comes after this whole process that this bracha is expressing. That Hashem's name is called on us. And when people talk about us, they're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our role in bringing the Shekhinah down here. And this is what it is. It's Bereishis, designating us. It's Shemos, giving us the mitzvos. It's Vayikra, demanding that we find the calling for the avoda. Then it's the tafkid of each person, and then it's the dvarim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is called on us. And by the way, don't forget, Moshe went from Lo Ish Devarim Anochi, I'm not a man of words, what do I have to say different than anyone else, different than what you can say, to Eila HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe. So that's also the process of every human being. In the beginning, a person is Lo Ish Devarim Anochi, what do I have to add, what do I have to say, what's my contribution? And in the end, a person has a contribution. By the way, the Zohar says Dibur was in Golus, and on Pesach, when the mouth speaks, Dibur was redeemed. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the idea that every person on Pesach is expected to find their own, in a sense, liberation, which comes from finding what's tafun, deeply hidden in a person, the desires, the conflicts, Hashem's ratzon, and in the end reveal it, bring it out. And when a person can do this, we said this is the afikoma, is the sweetest taste of all things. In the end, what do we have left? We don't have our youth, we don't have our energy, we don't have our looks, we don't have our even the roles we used to play. In the end, what do we have? What's the afikoma? What's tafun? In the end, is the wisdom we gained that gives us taste and meaning and purpose, and that we give over to the next generation. All right, everybody, have a wonderful week. Bring your Haggadahs next week.